Daniel mentioned this morning about our seniors who are graduating this week. And we're very proud of them, the accomplishments they've made. And this evening, I would like to speak to them and all of us together from God's Word about any goals or plans that they may have for the future that would involve spiritual principles. Later this week, there are going to be several graduation ceremonies taking place, and we have five seniors here at Warfield Boulevard. We're very encouraged by them. Their parents are proud of them and their grandparents. And there's going to be a number of graduations later this week, and our young people have crossed over a very important milestone. In those graduations, a number of things will be said that are good and fine. Typically, somebody will talk about how that our young people have passed a certain milestone. And there's often a quote from a president or maybe a well-known figure. And there will be statements made about how that you can realize your potential and you can be what you want to be. There will be statements made about how proud you can be of all of the things that you've accomplished so far. And all of those are good things. But typically, because of the way the public school system is set up, there's typically not a whole lot of reference anymore to religious matter. Now, in days gone by, there was, but not much anymore. And so this evening, I wanted us to focus on some of those spiritual things that would be good to hear at this time in your life. A few years back, I attended a graduation ceremony over in Robertson County, and there was a state official that was doing the message, and she made a couple of references to Scripture, and I commended her afterwards for that, but normally you don't hear a lot of that. It's a lot of common sense advice, there's a lot of secular advice, and some things, that's fine. But this evening we know that principles from God's Word are the most important pieces of advice that we could ever give or receive. So I wanted our young people to hear that this evening. I take it as an honor to be able to address some things from God's Word, things that you may not hear later on this week. One thing that comes to my mind is that all five of our seniors are young Christians. And when you go across the stage, if there are any extra awards that are mentioned in your name, typically they probably won't say that you're a Christian. So I wanted to say that is the most important decision that you've made in your life. Out of all those other things that you've accomplished, you have made the most important decision, and that is to become a child of God. What a great thing that is for our seniors to have that in their spiritual resume. This evening, we are going to look at some principles from God's Word. And our five seniors, Christopher and Carlin and Kama and Nina and Alexandria, they are going through stages in their life. There's a time and a season for everything, and they're transitioning from one stage of being primarily at home to slowly moving away from mom and dad. And as you pass through these different stages, you're going to be entering in to new chapters in your life, places where you've never been before. And I think about the Israelites crossing over the Jordan River and the statement that is made there about you have not passed this way before. It's a new time. And the way that we can stay anchored in life is with these spiritual lessons and principles that we're going to consider this evening. I've put them in no particular order other than how they appear in Scripture, but I believe that they're extremely important. When you attend a graduation ceremony, there's a lot spoken about looking back over memories, different high school memories will be mentioned, and different things that the kids did on certain events. And a lot of times the individual will talk about looking ahead with plans and goals, and a lot of good common sense advice will be given. But we want to look ahead this evening, not with just some human common sense advice, but with divine suggestion, divine command, divine teaching that comes from God. He made us, and so He knows what is best for us. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 8 then in verse 21, and let's look for our young people this evening, and we're going to see that these things are for all of us, even as we age. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. Number one, I want our young people, as you plan ahead, to control evil early. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, after Noah and his family come out of the ark, God is instructing them on some matters, and He reminds them with regard to the imagination of man's heart. That was what brought about the flood in the first place, back in chapter 6, that is mentioned. And here we find that the statement is made that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Understand that the devil wants to attack you early in life. He doesn't wait. He doesn't wait until you get midlife or older. He starts early. We're not born in sin. That is not a biblical teaching, but the devil starts early on us. And there will be evil from a person's youth, and knowing that, control that and attack that and defend yourself against that early. Understand that this is the time in your life that the devil is looking to get you to do sin and evil. This is where he wants to have you a part of his kingdom and a part of his army. And understand that and stay on top of that. You'll be around other young people that when you go off to college, you'll be around other young people that it's clearly seen that they are evil from their youth up. And know that. Be aware of that early. Be aware that that is going on in our world. I remember being at that point in my life, and I don't know if I thought about it that way. I always thought, well, you know, the devil is for later in life. The devil's going to come later in life. He's going to come early. And stay on top of that and control that. With the habits that your parents have already developed in you of prayer and Bible study and being together to worship with other Christians, control that early, knowing that He's going to show up as soon as He can. Turn with me to Judges chapter 8. We're familiar with the account there of Gideon and his men who defeat the Midianites. And the other day I was considering this story and ran across this that I thought was kind of interesting, the way that it was worded. That after the initial battle is over with in Judges chapter 8, Gideon continues to pursue a couple of men named Zeba and Zalmunna. And when they catch up with them, Judges chapter 8 and verse 20, Gideon said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. And that struck me. When we're young, we can be fearful of doing what is right. We're going to say some more about this later in the lesson, but don't ever fear to do what is right. Now understand that when we're young, we don't have experiences with things. And his father is asking him to do a very drastic situation. Up and slay them. This is something maybe that he had never done before and he hadn't experienced that. And I get that. But if it's the right thing to do, do it. And don't ever fear that. But the text says he feared because he was a youth. And I've been in situations like that. Maybe when you're around others and they're not on the same page as you are, and maybe there's laughing going on and teasing going on, and we're fearful to say what is right and do what is right, but don't do that. You may be young, but you can do what is right. And by right, I mean right according to the Word of God. You might have to stand up for somebody else. You might have to take a stand for truth. You might have to tell someone that their life is not according to the Word of God. You might have to say, I'm not going to laugh and joke about sin. I'm just not going to do that. And when we're young, we're in a position where we could be fearful. Maybe because of lack of experience, or we haven't developed that courage yet, but I'm here to tell you this evening that don't ever fear to do what is right. We need more young people who will stand up for what is right. Don't ever fear to trust in God when you're challenged. We know that we're well aware of the story of David and Goliath. And you remember there that David is being told that he can't do this because he's a youth. And yet he is the one who stands up to Goliath. The adults do not. And so, trust in God when challenged with giants. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 33, thy servant smote the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And you need to have that same attitude. Verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. And somebody's going to say, well, you're young. You can't fight this battle. You can. And you must. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 71 and verse 5, that from his youth he had been taught to trust God. God's way is the best. God knows what is best for you, what is right for you. He made you. He has given His Word to you in the Scriptures. And He's going to assist you in any battles that you might have. It's amazing how that this young man is the one that's out on the battlefield putting to shame all the adults who should have been out there before him. You can set an example, maybe even for the adults. Trust God when challenged. We're familiar with Joseph. We're going to be studying him, Lord willing, in our upcoming VBS. Turn with me to Genesis 39 and verse 9. Along the same lines, let me encourage you as you go out into your new life that you always think of God when tempted. I am told that from a psychological standpoint and an emotional standpoint, if you can battle the temptation for 20 minutes, it will begin to subside in you. It doesn't completely go away, but it begins to lessen. There's about a 20-minute window there, I am told, that it is intense. And it's within that 20 minutes that a person caves in and gives in to whatever is being tempted and whatever is wrong. And it takes a lot of strength during that 20 minutes. But after that, that feeling begins to subside and slowly go away, and you can find yourself not wanting to do that. And we find here, of course, and we'll be studying this in our VBS, that when Potiphar's wife is wanting to have a sexual relationship with Joseph, he runs away. And he says in verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He always kept God in his mind. It wasn't about, what is this going to make me feel good? I deserve this. It's okay for me this one time. I like the way it feels. Nobody will know. He thought about God. And I can't sin against God. And that's what all of this Bible class for you young people have been over the past many years, from toddler, from Linda Hensley on up to high school. That's what it's all about now, that you have such a great appreciation for God that you're not going to sin against Him. And we've had parents and we've had teachers to instill that in us as we go through life. And now's the time where you call upon Him and think about Him in those moments. And if we get past that 20 minutes, we have a greater chance of resisting the devil and he'll flee from us. He's going to hang around long enough to see what we do in that period of time and run away. But always think about God and what it would be doing to Him when we find ourselves in those situations. You're going out into a world where you'll be surrounded by many worldly young people your age, and they will be engaged in those typical kinds of things. When you go off to school, it's typically alcohol and drugs and sexual immorality. Those are the types of things that you'll be hearing about and maybe even witnessing, especially the alcohol. Just think about God. And be mindful of that. And always do what is right. And in verse 10, when it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her. It's not going to be a one-time situation. It's going to be over and over and over again. It's going to be a hammering. It's just going to be a hammering all day long and every week and every month. It's just the same old thing. But don't cave. Don't bend. Always do what is right. And in Psalm 119 and verse 9, you always have to rely upon the Word of God for strength. And keep that Bible app handy, if that's what you use. Do you know that Bible apps are banned now in China? Have you heard that? You're not allowed to have Bible apps. Whether it's on your phone or whether it's a traditional book, keep your Bible handy. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? If perchance you needed some cleansing, it's going to be by coming back to God's Word, by taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. And when you get off, and we'll say some more about this later, when you get off and you hear other things that the world is now presenting to you, don't wander off from the Word of God. That's easy to do. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Keep God's word close to you at all times. In our scripture reading this evening, if you'll turn back with me there, always remember your Creator. And this is a very familiar passage that we read a lot for our young people. But I want to look at something again, if you'll turn with me there, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let's explore a few things here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, I would want to say to you this evening, young people, that you can go out and have fun. You can do some things that are fun. A Christian can have fun. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. There are good, clean, fun things to do that Christians can do. Seek those things out. Being a young Christian is not about not having fun. There are things out there that the world calls fun that you do need to stay away from. But you can find other young Christians to be with, and you can enjoy things that are good, wholesome activities of recreation that do not violate anything in the Word of God. That's one thing I wanted to mention from verse 9. Find good, wholesome, clean activities to engage in. But know thou this, that for all things God will bring thee into judgment. Whatever choices you make in life, understand that this choice is going to affect me eventually in the judgment day, and choose only that which is good. Look at verse 10. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart. We are in a generation now where there are many young people who are depressed. They are angry. They are bitter. They are sad. And they vent that and show that in their lives. Look at verse 10. Number one, enjoy good, clean, fun things. Number two, be happy. You can be happy, verse 10, and put away evil at the same time. And then one last thing, the verse that we always read, remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I just simply wanted to make the point that if you keep reading all the way down through verse 8, it's talking about the day is coming when you get older and eventually you die, verse 7, the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns unto God. So start now remembering God and serving God and obeying God, knowing that you're getting older and one day you'll pass from this life, provided Jesus doesn't come before that time. And you need to be ready for your spirit to return unto God and face Him in the judgment day. Not only that, but look at verse 1. Remember your Creator, in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There are people who grow up and get older and they don't have pleasure anymore in serving God. And their life is just a wreck. So keep that always before you as you go through life. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. Let me encourage you to always use God's wisdom when making decisions. You're going to be more out on your own, and mom and dad won't be there and others won't be there, and you're going to have to make some decisions and make those decisions based upon the wisdom that is found in the Word of God, not the wisdom that is found in the world. In the preamble to the book of Proverbs, we find in verse 4 that these Proverbs are given to give prudence to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. God's Word gives us the information to make the right decisions, and it covers all of the things that we decide in life. All the types of things that we have to make decisions on, there is a biblical principle for every one of them. But then, if you'll turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 7, we find the young man with regard to sexual immorality. I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. And he passes by the corner of the sexually immoral woman and goes in and commits fornication with her. Verse 7, he is void of understanding. He's not applying the Word of God in his life. He's just living by the way the world would want him to live. It's better to be young and wise, Ecclesiastes 4 and 13, than an old king who is foolish. Use the wisdom that has been instilled in you from God's Word to make the right decisions. Do don't listen to the human wisdom that is going to be given to you in some of your classes and some other things. Frankly, you just need to ignore it. Now, years ago, the main problem at the collegiate level was evolution. I wish that were the only problem today, honestly. It's evolution still, and a bunch of other foolish, ungodly, secular, humanistic doctrines. And there's always the professor who wants to be the avant-garde, the cutting edge, the guy or gal on campus that is known for pushing the envelope, and there's always that person, and you're going to be in their class, and they're going to be spouting the foolishness, and you just say, uh-uh, no. That's not what the Word of God teaches. You rely upon God's Word and God's wisdom, and you just simply have to ignore that sometimes. Some of them, it's in your face. Some of them, they threaten your grade with regard to that type. Not all of them, but some of them. And you just have to work through that. But be strong. Don't cave. Be strong. And always follow God's work and God's wisdom. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27. A little bit of wisdom out of the book of Lamentations, a book that is solidly negative in nature, dealing with the fall of Jerusalem. But there's a tidbit here that is speaking of God and man. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27. Let me encourage you to work hard. Work hard now in your life. And by work hard, I don't simply mean get good grades at school. I mean in any aspect of what you do, work hard. And when I say work hard, I actually mean sweat. Sweat. Get hot. Get sweaty. Ache. Hurt. Don't be soft. Work hard. It's good for you. It's good for us to learn to work hard when we're young. And in Lamentations 3:25, Jehovah is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. That's what we're talking about tonight. Keep trusting and waiting on the Lord. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for salvation of Jehovah. That's another great lesson. But then look at verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Don't be a softy. Don't be someone who just doesn't want to lift a finger. Work hard. Because that will serve you later in life, in your parenting, and in your marriage, and in the local church, and being a faithful, hard-working servant. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Don't be afraid to sweat and work and get in there and get after it. There are so many today, brethren, it's a soft society. It's a soft society. It's terrible. We have so many conveniences and so much technology and so much this and so much. We don't even want to lift a finger to do anything. Well, then we become lazy and we don't help anybody and we don't serve. We'll be talking about that later in the lesson. Work hard. It's good, Jeremiah says. It's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And this is the yoke of affliction and pain and hurting and work. There are a number of things that have been discussed out of this verse. I'm applying it to work. But don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. My father used to say, that's what soap is for. We wouldn't want to touch something. It'd be someone, you know, the garbage. Well, I'm not going to touch the garbage. Pick it up. That's what soap is for. You can wash your hands later if you want. Come on now. This soft approach is creeping in everywhere in our society. And then later down the road, you find yourself, well, I'm going to let somebody else do that. I'm not doing that. And that's not the life we want to live. Work hard now. Get your hands dirty. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. You've been raised by godly parents that have taught you the Word of God. And you're going to resolve, before you even leave home, you're going to resolve to remain pure. Like Daniel and his friends who were taken to Babylon. And they didn't wait until they got there to figure it all out. They were raised right from their youth up, just like you have been. And they had already purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. This is done ahead of time. They didn't wait until they got in a bind. Well, what should we do? They had already purposed that and resolved that and do that now. While you're in the protection of your home, resolve and purpose that you will remain pure. And along those same lines with Daniel and his friends, dare to be different. You stand for what is right. In the book of Daniel, we have two different things going on. In chapter 3, we have God's people being told to do something that you're not supposed to do, idolatry. In chapter 6, they're being told not to do something that you are supposed to do, which is prayer. And government will hit you from both of those angles. And we saw some of it even last year. And you and I and all of us have to have resolve that we are still going to do what is right. So sometimes you're being told to do something that you're not supposed to do. Sometimes you're being told not to do something that you are supposed to do. Daniel and his friends, these Hebrew youths, said no. No. We're not going to commit idolatry. You can throw us in a fiery furnace if you want. And Daniel said, I'm going to keep praying. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to howl-cow to your rules and your power-mongering and your control. I'm going to stand for what is right. And I would encourage our young people to do that because apparently we are living in a country and in a nation where we see more and more of that going on, and you're going to have to be strong. Come with me now to the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Let me encourage you to follow Jesus over your own desires. We're told about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he had a great attitude. He wanted to know what it would take to inherit eternal life. But when Jesus told him to go sell all that he had and give to the poor and come follow me, that this young man walked away sorrowful because he had great riches. And so let me encourage you to always follow Jesus, not your own desires. The money was just the one thing he just couldn't let go of. Apparently he was raised right. The text said that he had followed the commandments from his youth up. He probably had great parents that raised him really well. But he had a wrong sense of priorities. And so when it came to money and riches, he loved that more than Jesus. Always, always follow Jesus and what he wants for us and what he asks of us. And if by chance we were to do something that is not right, turn with me to Luke 15. Don't forget the way home. We're told that of these two brothers, the younger one is the one that ended up being the prodigal son. And we don't have time this evening to spend on all of the great lessons about the pull away from good out into the world. There's some great lessons there, but he went into a far country and there are just so many lessons there. But the one I want to focus on this evening is that he knew the way home. You can always come back to mom and dad. You can always come back to the Lord. verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father." He confesses that he has sinned and he comes back. Don't forget the way home. Serve others. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 26. Talked about this a little bit before. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Serve others. Service is going by the wayside today. It's struggling. It's the me generation. It's look out for me. I'm number one. I'll walk by somebody and I'm not going to talk to them. I've got my head buried in my phone. I'm not going to talk to anybody, not going to speak to anybody, not going to ask them how they're doing. Certainly not going to ask, "Can I help you with anything?" That's the generation we're in. I'm not opposed to having a phone. I think they're great. But I'm wondering if we're raising an entire generation of just people who are narcissistic and stuck on themselves. In Luke chapter 22, when Jesus talks about the person who is great, he uses a statement here that's a little bit different than other places in the Gospels. There was a contention among them, Luke 22, 24, as to who was the greatest. And when he solves this, verse 26, "You shall not be so, but he that is greater among you, let him become as the younger." That seems a little odd. You would think that whoever would be great among you, and then he would talk about service, and he does at the end of the verse, but he puts younger in opposition to greater. You would think he might say, should be the lesser or something like that, but he says the younger. Now, why does he do that? At this time, in many families, the younger were the ones who did a lot of work. And so that's Jesus' way of saying that if you want to be the great person, be the one who serves and does a lot of work. That's what the younger children do in the family. They go out and feed the livestock. They go give the water to the livestock. They sweep the floor for mom and dad. Let him be as the younger. And if we are teaching our children early in life to serve others and to work hard, we are giving them one of the best educations that they will ever get in their entire life. The biblical education of service and hard work is one of the greatest things to learn. Go out and serve others. Not just a select group of friends. Not just a little inner circle of those who are around you, but anyone in or out of the church that comes across your path. It is the selfish, self-serving, narcissistic individual in America today that is causing much of the problems. It's easy to tear things down that you've never built. It's easy to burn and steal and do this and that if you didn't do anything to work for that. We're seeing it everywhere. Serve others. Be willing to change to serve Jesus Christ. You remember when Stephen was stoned, the text says that they laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Well, this young man ends up changing and becoming the great apostle Paul. He went from persecutor to being persecuted. He went from persecutor to being a preacher. Always be willing to change. Change whatever it is to serve Christ better in your life. You've already become a Christian, which is the greatest change and decision you can make. And if there are any changes that you need to continue to make you a better servant for Christ, be willing
to do that.
And get involved for the right cause. Turn with me to Acts chapter 23. Let me encourage you young people to really be careful about the priest and Levite approach to life. I'm referring now to the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, where we walk by on the other side. I don't want to get involved. I'm fearful. I'm scared. People will say something against me. You get involved for what is right. You may recall in Acts chapter 23 that Paul was going to be transported in his process of being on these trials. And there's some Jews that wanted to assassinate him. And Paul had a young nephew. He's called a young man. And in Acts chapter 23, the text says that he had heard about this plot. And he comes to Paul and says, they're going to kill you. And Paul says, take it to the centurion. And this young man gets involved. Get involved for the right cause. You know, we hear a lot today about activism. The problem is not activism. The problem is activism for all the wrong things. Activism is good if we're talking about standing for right and truth and what is good. We need more of that. And the text says that he stood up. Bring the young man, verse 17, unto the chief captain, for he has something to tell him. The Jews, verse 20, have agreed to ask thee to bring down Paul as though thou wouldest inquire somewhat more exactly concerning him. Do not thou therefore yield unto them. This young man is telling the chief captain what to do. Don't do this. Can you imagine a young person coming up? The fortitude, the courage. Be like that. Stand for what is right. Save other people, even if it means literally. Help people, save them. We're in a world where everybody is so wrapped up in their own personal lives that they just walk right by people needing help. Get involved to save someone. Be the right example for everyone around you. Another familiar passage we often speak about with regard to our young people is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Always set that right example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to them that believe, other Christians, in word, what you say, in manner of life, your conduct, in your emotions, in love, in faith, in purity. Always set the right example for those around you. That's going to involve being faithful in your service to Christ while you're away from home and worshiping with other faithful brethren. That's setting the right example and praying for meals in the cafeteria, maybe when nobody else around you is praying for meals. That's setting the right example and reading your Bible when nobody else is reading their Bible. Set the right example. Be teachable. I remember when I was young, I knew everything, right? Those of us who are older, remember that time in your life when you knew everything? Remember that? Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. We knew everything. We had it all figured out. Mom and Dad can't teach us anything. Always be teachable. Always let those who are older, godly Christians teach you and help you. Here the older women are to train the younger women to love their husbands, but as a young woman, I need to be teachable. I need to be open to someone who's older helping me and guiding me in the right way. I've got to be open and teachable. And then, verse 6, the younger men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself and in sample or example of good works. In thy doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity or seriousness, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Be teachable. you're at a time in your life where you're going to be learning and growing in other secular areas of your life, math and science and history and other types of things, and all of those are great things. Make sure that you remain teachable in God's Word. And when you're challenged, always, always come down on the side of the inspired, inerrant Word of God and not what you're hearing in the classroom. Flee youthful lusts. Now is the time in your life to leave those behind. Every once in a while when the sermon is over with, after services, John comes out. And a lot of times he'll have a little statement that he'll say to me on the way out, little words of wisdom. I love it when he says stuff to me. So he'll say, Chris, and then he'll say a little short thing and then he'll go on. One time, this has been probably a couple of years back, I had mentioned something about flee youthful lust, and after the service, John's walking out and he stopped and he said, do you know that youthful lusts can become adult lusts? His point was, if you're not careful, you'll be carrying it with you all the way through life, and you'll be doing the same thing later in life that you're doing in your youth. You got to stop it right now. Youthful lusts become adult lusts. So now's the time to run away from them, or you find that you carry them with you all the way through life. And it's not just simply running away from something, but if you'll look with me at that passage, you've got to fill that void with that which is good. So after you flee the youthful lust and you follow after righteousness, this is where the continued prayer and Bible study and attending with good faithful brethren, you're pursuing and following after righteousness, faith and love and peace with them, other good faithful Christians that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it's not just simply running away from something, but filling that void with good things. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Respect the elderly. This is not just simply mom and dad, and we're almost done. We'll close here in just a minute. Just one or two more points. Respect the elderly. We're in a generation today where young people will walk by someone, they won't talk to them, they won't speak to them, they won't help them. A lot of times they'll poke fun of those who are older. Peter says that the younger are to respect the elder. Not just your parents, not just other older godly church members, but all. Many of them were the ones who helped you to get to your point in life. Respect that. They sacrificed for you. They gave for you. They're trying to help you. They're giving you the words of wisdom. Sometimes they give you financial help. Sometimes they give you other kinds of help. Respect that. Don't be like your peers who are disrespectful and snotty and snooty and cause problems. Be respectful. That's what God wants. And then last of all, be spiritually strong. John talks about the young men who overcome the evil one. You can be the overcomer. You can be the victor. You don't have to be the one, the young person in life like we see around the country and around the world today that is engaged in all kinds of worldliness and sinful kinds of things. You can be the success story. I've written unto you young men because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. That's what makes us strong, is the Word of God in us. Not physically strong, spiritually strong with that Word of God in us. And you have overcome the evil one. You can do it. Many young people have. And it's encouraging to see that. We have some here this evening that have gone through the high school graduation and they have a year or two or three of college and they're already on that road that we're talking about, and you can see that they're still being faithful to God. And they're overcoming the evil one each and every day. You can do it. Be spiritually strong. Well, this week you will be going to your graduation ceremonies, and there will be some things said that will be good. I wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity this evening to be talking about some of those spiritual principles that you may not be hearing later on this week. These are the principles that will take us all the way to eternity in heaven. These are the principles that mean the most out of all things that are said. These are the principles that will make us right with God and have a home in heaven. And I look forward one day to being in heaven with all of you and looking around and seeing our young people now grown up. And you see them there and you think, wow, they put into practice those things that were found in the Word of God. Several of them, we listed several. I gave a copy of the lesson to all of our graduates. Take that with you when you go off to school. Just tuck it in a notebook somewhere. Look at it periodically. And it will serve you well. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel and be baptized into Christ. We would encourage you to do that. There may be someone who needs to come back in some way. But what a great privilege it is to have a Bible in our hands to give us that guidance, those goals and that guidance that will take us all the way to heaven. Let's go out and practice those things this week and down through life. If we can assist you in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand as we sit?